lift our hearts and our minds up to you, Father, and just say, bless, Father. Pour out yourself into us, Lord, that we may receive, that we can grow in our understanding of you and our faith towards you, Lord. That we don't necessarily see you, Father, but we truly believe and we trust in you and we rely on you. And we lay down any other hindrance right here and now, Father, that we may grow in that faith towards you, Father. Help us understand what you have given to us, the authority that you've given to us as a believer and a child of God, that we may walk in the fullness, we may walk in victory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in the last week or two, we've been talking about God's Word and the truth of God's Word, and that for us, it's a matter of lining our minds or our thoughts and our lives up with God's truth, which is in His Word. We talked a little bit about, I think last week, about the devil, that he is a liar. Okay? He's known as the father of lies, and he's a deceiver, and that he will do it and go to great lengths to deceive you into a temptation of some sort. He's going to lay it out in front of you and try to lead you in the wrong path, to lead you down the wrong way. Okay? He is a deceiver because that is his strength. That is his power. That's what was given to him, was that capacity or the ability to be able to deceive. If you think about even Adam and Eve, he couldn't force them to take of the fruit. You know, he couldn't shove it on them kind of thing. He had to wait till it was an act of their free will. He encouraged them, enticed them, lied to them, and deceived them into doing it. The same as for Jesus, he could not force Jesus to follow him in the desert. Okay, we're going to go through that little bit of that scripture today. And he cannot force you to follow him either. Okay, he can lay something out in front of you and he can tempt you and tease you with it or try to lie to you about something to get you to go the wrong way. But it really comes down to a choice of your free will. That's a gift from God that he gave unto us. Even Jesus said, not my will but thine be done. So Jesus expressed that he had the will or the ability, the capacity to go that other direction and not do that. So we either yield to him or we don't. And we're going to talk about that word yielding this morning. But as a believer today, we've been blessed, divinely blessed, with the gift of grace. Okay, God's unmerited favor, he sent us in the form of Jesus Christ that empowers us, strengthens us, to be able to yield ourselves as an instrument of righteousness, an instrument of God. Okay, and through our faith, then, we are entirely pleasing unto God. Okay, that's a gift from God. It's something that he has blessed us with. But I want to show you something this morning that that happened through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that as a Christian, if you grab onto it and you get a true understanding of what has happened, it'll cause you to walk in more victory than you've ever seen. And I'll even say you could walk in total victory over Satan and his lies. So that when he lies to you, he sends a deception or something your way, that you're going to understand and say, no, no thanks, don't need that, don't want to go that direction, and I don't have to. Thank you, Jesus. And we get to go the other way. Okay, so the initial sin of mankind, here's where we're going to begin, came back with Adam. Okay, Adam literally empowered the devil when he gave in to him. Okay, he turned something over to him. Okay, the sin of Adam literally took this earthly kingdom and handed it over to Satan. And he did that because it was an act. We were God's prized creation, Adam and Eve, beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And God gave them this beautiful place to live and fellowship with God on a regular basis. And yet Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation. And at that point, by man's free will, he handed over to the devil the empowerment that he needed for the rest of the time that he's been going on here. The Bible refers to the devil as the god of this world. I don't know if you've heard of that. We'll read that scripture. He also refers to him as the prince of this world. Okay, we're reminded through the scriptures that describe the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness about this very topic that I'm describing right now. Let's start by reading Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says, again, the devil, remember when the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, right? This is where we're at. So the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and says to Jesus, all these things will I give unto thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Okay, Now, you know, Jesus was smart enough. He just told the devil, "Get behind me, Satan. It is written." Remember, there's your scripture that we line our word up. "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What Jesus didn't say to the devil was that the kingdoms were not his to give. Okay, this is how we know that it had been handed over to the devil. When he can say, "All this glory and all these kingdoms I will give to you, Jesus, if you will worship me." Okay, Jesus didn't correct him and say, no, you can't give that to me. That's all mine to begin with. It was in the very beginning, and we're going to see that by Adam and Eve, it was given to mankind, but by the free will of mankind, they gave over their allegiance unto the enemy, unto the devil. You'll see this as we go along. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. He told them to that he was giving them dominion over this kingdom that we were in. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created man in his image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Even the psalmist, when he is describing God's great love and that he has towards mankind, he says this in Psalm 8:6. It says, "Thou hast made him to have dominion over the work of thine hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." From the very beginning, God envisioned that mankind would be empowered and have dominion over all that we live in now. But Adam and Eve kind of made a mess, didn't they? We call it the fall of man. It's what we refer to it, and they messed that up. Okay? God had given this world to mankind, but through what we refer to as the fall of man, we turned it over to Satan and his demons by an act of a human's free will. Okay, the implication of the fall was that man effectively transferred his allegiance to the devil by taking his word above the word of God. Okay, if you think about that, this is what the devil does. He wants you to transfer your allegiance to him, to believe his lie more than you believe the truth of the word of God. Okay, and when he does that, and you give into it, you transfer your allegiance in some ways back unto him. Now, as a believer, we have a victory over this, and you'll see this as we go through it. So man transferred not only his allegiance to the devil then, but he transferred his dominion, his dominance, over to the devil. Okay, now, as the Apostle Paul teaches about why some receive the gospel and why other ones don't that he preaches to, he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Okay, now if we stopped our Bible study right there, we could walk away pretty discouraged, thinking that we have given over this dominion and power unto the devil, and that we then have no place to rise above that or any victory in it. It could seem kind of hopeless for mankind. And if the devil is the god of this world, then he has the dominion and authority that was once ours, we could be discouraged by that. And unfortunately, the reason that God laid this on my heart to share is because there are many, many Christians today that live in this mindset, that it's been given unto the devil that he is a strong, powerful force and that he is too much for me to overcome that temptation. I can't get rid of that negative thing in my life that is bogging me down, or that pride or anger, you know, whatever it is, that lust and those things, that I'll never have victory in those areas because the devil's just seemed to have my number. He's too strong for me. They feel like they live in continual defeat because they see the devil as dominant, more powerful than they are. They know that we can resist him, because the Bible says that we can resist the devil and he will flee from you, but they don't see that they can ever have true victory over him and live in a victorious life in those particular areas in their life. Okay, maybe in some you've made some ground and you're living it out and you're doing well, but there are those particular areas. But I want to tell you the rest of the story. Okay, remember Paul Harvey? He always had the rest of the story. Some of you guys may not even know, you're probably too young to know who Paul Harvey was, but as a young farm kid growing up, okay, we had AM radios and a tractor. Okay, some of them had a cab, a lot of them didn't, but the one that we had, an old 1256 International, had a cab on it, no air conditioning. So you would crank these windows, you know, they opened up like this, and the back window, big sheet of glass, and it would open up about this far in the back, you know, kind of to let the dust in from the back. Okay, and so, but we had a little AM radio in there, and so during the day, we'd be out, you know, driving back and forth, disking up a field. It takes hours to do, and we would listen to the radio. Well, that's where I got introduced to Paul Harvey, but he would tell a story about something, and he'd get to about this point, and then he'd say, but now I'm going to tell you the rest of the story, and I can't say it like he could say it, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, so I want to tell you the rest of it. Because it looks like at this point that Adam and Eve messed it up for us, and what are we going to do? We're stuck in this now. But it gets better. Because what the devil tries and went to deceive you into forgetting is that Jesus Christ is referred to in the Scriptures as the second Adam. Okay? The Bible refers to Jesus literally as the last Adam. Okay, and you can look it up for yourself. We'll read some of these scriptures. But there's whole references in different books that talk about the first Adam and the last Adam. Okay, Adam and Eve did make a mess of things, but the last Adam, God's prized creation, Jesus Christ, came and fixed that problem. He did exactly what needed to do. God's plan of restoration of the allegiance and the authority of mankind was accomplished through the second Adam. Okay, the fall of the first Adam, all of us were then put under subjection to the ruler of this world. But through the victory of the second Adam, through Jesus, or who, like I said, the Bible calls the last Adam, we were once again placed in our rightful place of authority so that he no longer has that dominion over us. Jesus Christ took it away from him and gave it back unto us. See, the dominion that the devil had acquired through the power of sin, or through sin, was the power of death. Okay, remember I said in the beginning as we read that scripture, oh death, where is thy sting, right? Okay, because the power that the devil was acquiring through sin and getting Adam and Eve to do that wasn't just to get them to sin. Eating a piece of fruit, whether it's apple or whatever it was, wasn't the end all. Okay, they didn't die that day. That didn't make their whole life. It was the giving in of that empowered the devil with one thing, and that was death. Adam and Eve were not designed to die. Okay? But remember, God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of that fruit, then that they would surely die. I think I have that scripture in there. Genesis 2:16. The Lord God says, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay, it implies that God had created them to live in this beautiful, wonderful Garden of Eden, and it was going to be this wonderful thing, but that they ate of that fruit, and then they would surely die. Again, when the devil is tempting Adam and Eve to eat it, he lies to them and says, you won't die. Right? Let's read that in Genesis 3. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman says unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not either eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Okay, he just lies to her. For God doth know that in a day eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You can see that that death was the victory that the devil was after. Okay, that was the one thing that made him so powerful, is that people began to perish and began to die and not be with God forever in that eternal life that he had created for them. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, right? The payment, the penalty, the final result of sin is death. And that's what the victory the devil was after, was to get you and I to die, okay? To not be here, to be separated from God. Because if you look up that in 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. Okay, it means separation from God. Okay, eternal separation from God. Okay, you can see that that's what the devil was after. What happened to Adam and Eve immediately after they ate of that fruit? Do you remember? Okay, they saw themselves as naked, but then God comes, has a conversation with them, and says, "You guys are out of here." That place of intimate fellowship, that beautiful, wonderful connection they had with God, talking with God in the garden, was severed. And they were put outside of that, put away from that. Okay? And right there is where the devil wants you to believe that you're at today. He wants you to believe that you are still separated from God because of that penalty of sin. He wants you to believe the lie that you are still separated from God, because if he can do that, you will not believe that God hears and answers your prayers. If you believe that you're separated from God, you will not believe that God is with you all the time. You will not believe that you have access to God through grace, through faith. Okay? You won't. There's a scripture that literally says we have access to grace by faith, right? But if you see yourself as separated from God, you feel like you can't quite get there unless you get some things straight in your own life first. See, the scripture in Romans 6:23 that I mentioned earlier that says the wages of sin is death goes on to say, however, the gift of God is eternal life. Okay, that's what Jesus Christ was sent to restore. The devil, his victory was that he had death, but Jesus Christ restored eternal life for you and I. Let's read that passage. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." Here's the past tense. You were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, that means in the past, but now, yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The wages of sin is death. But now, verse 22, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, now you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. God restored it through Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our dominion and our authority has been restored. Our freedom from sin and freedom from that death has been restored by faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:11 says, "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom or through whom we now have received the atonement or at-one-ment, brought back into that fellowship that I was talking about in the garden. We've been brought back to that one at-one-ment. Whereas as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We were in trouble until Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the second Adam, came on the scene and lived the perfect sinless life. He conquered sin and death, and he set us free from the bondage that Satan had over us. Our rightful place of authority and dominion and right standing with God has been restored by Jesus. So don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him convince you that he is still in control. Don't let him tell you that he is stronger and that you're at his mercy. Okay, like he gets to decide whether you give in or not. Don't do that. Don't allow him to think that you're at his mercy. You're at the mercy of God, which was sent to us through Jesus Christ. Okay, God had a plan of restoration to restore us back to that authority over the devil, and he implemented that through Jesus. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, "For since by man, by Adam, came death, by man, by Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead," or the life. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ now shall all be made alive." He took it away from the devil. What the devil's greatest power was that of death. And he takes it away from him and literally goes and takes the keys away, if you remember your Bible, and says, "That's not yours to have anymore. I'm restoring it unto mankind." That's why Jesus came. Since the dominion of earth was given by God to mankind, and then man gave it to Satan, the only way that God could legally take it back to regain that authority was again through man, or specifically who we know as the Son of Man, named Jesus. Okay? Now get this. Here's an example for you. If I give $100 to Bob in the back there in the gopher hole, okay, and Bob decides he's not going to spend it, he's going to give it away to somebody else. Okay, it was his gift. I gave it to him. It's a free gift, $100. He decides, "I'm going to give it to Jeff." Okay, now if I want that $100 back, I have a need come up and I'm like, "I wonder if, you know, I could get that money back." I can go to Bob, but he doesn't have it anymore, right? He gave it to Jeff. I can't really go to Jeff and say, "Can I have my money back?" Because it's no longer mine. I gave it to Bob. Bob gave it to Jeff. But if Bob goes to Jeff and says, "Hey, I thought of another need. Could I have my money back?" He could give it back to Bob. And then Bob could say, "Gary, I wanted to bless you. Here's your $100 back." Okay, you see how that chain goes? If I wanted to get it back, since I'm the one that gave it to Bob, he now has a free will, a free choice to give it to anybody or do anything with it he wants. He chose to give it to Jeff. So Jeff, of his free will, gives it back to Bob. Bob, of his free will, gives it back to me. Now it's back in my hand. God wanted to restore back to him, back to us, that authority. He gave it to us. We gave it to, Bob's not the devil, but he gave it to the devil. The devil is now going to have to go through a man. It's going to have to go back to Bob to come to us. And that's through Jesus. See if I can explain this. Bob could ask it for it back, but because it was Bob's to give away, it is now a relationship between Bob and Jeff that affects me. Okay, if Jeff gives it back to Bob, Bob gives it to me, then it's back in my hand. The only rightful way that it could happen. I can't go and take it from Jeff. Remember, the devil can't make you do stuff. Okay, well, God can't make him give the authority back to you and I. He had to go and have it freely given unto him. Okay, that's where Jesus came in as a man. It had to be done by an act of free will of a man. God's plan was to rightfully restore our authority and our dominion through Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his Son in the form of a human flesh. Okay, by the free will of man, we succumbed to sin and death, and by the free will of man, we were fully restored to righteousness and eternal life. Jesus Christ had the opportunity to not do what he did. He had a free will. God made him as much human as he needed to so that he could have that moment in the garden. "Not my will, but thine be done." Because he may have wanted to walk away at that point. Right? And if you think about what he was enduring at the moment and what he was about to endure, you can understand that. He was relating to our humanity, but of his own free will, he overcame the devil. He lived the sinless, perfect, eternal life. The end of the story, here's what it looks like. If we look in Revelation, in Revelation 11:15, it says, "The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever.'" It's come back to Jesus Christ. He's the one that went and got it and brought it to us. Jesus has taken away the power of sin and death from the devil and made us alive to do the right things. I'm going to read you some scripture in Ephesians. Think of the past to the now. As you has he quickened. That word means made alive. who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, when Jesus Christ came as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, and he walked on the face of the earth, people were amazed at this authority that he walked in, because he was taking it back from the devil. He spoke to the wind and the waves and they obeyed him, right? That amazed them. He spoke to the demonic spirits and they obeyed him. He even spoke to Satan himself and told him to get behind him, and he had to obey him. They saw this authority that he walked in and were amazed. Luke 4:36 says, "They were amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What word is this? For with authority and power he commands even the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" Okay, this was something new. This was a Jesus thing that he's bringing on, that they brought, he restored that so that we could walk in that again. And putting you in a position of victory and reestablishing your victory over sin and death and over the devil is the reason that Jesus came to do what he did. Okay, yes, it's forgiveness. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he restored unto you an authority and a power so that you can walk above that of what the enemy tries to bring you and tempt you with. In Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." Okay, "let no man despise thee." You don't have to be ashamed of the power and authority that's been given to you by Jesus. You don't have to be afraid to allow that God to express those kind of things to you. If you're in a prayer and you're praying and there's something that's been tormenting somebody and you want to blurt out, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and you will not hinder that person again," Jesus Christ has restored that authority to you and I, so that we can be used as a vessel of God, that we can walk in that authority again, and we don't have to be ashamed of it in any way, shape, or form. Okay, as a born-again child of the Most High God, you have been given a tremendous success, a power for success in your walk with God. What was lost through Adam has now been restored by the last Adam. It's been given back unto us. So I want to encourage you, as you go through the week, walk in victory. Walk with your head held up and say, "You know what? I don't have to give in to that anymore. Jesus gave me that authority back. I can say no." And you have that ability. You have that power and that strength that God has given to you. It's freely given as a gift from God through his grace for us. Amen. Amen. Father God, we praise you this morning as we exalt the name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord. Father, I'm grateful again. Every time, every day, I'm thankful for the plan that you came up with of restoration for your people. That you came up with a plan to lead us unto you, to open the gateway and the door for us to enter eternal life through your Son, Jesus. And Father, through that plan and as part of it, you restored the authority and the power and the dominion back unto your children so that we can walk in victory over the enemy. We can walk in victory over abnormal circumstances or demonic forces and circumstances. We can walk in victory through over those in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we're grateful. We thank you and pray. pray that as we go through this week, Lord, that you will quicken your word to us, show us things in you and your scriptures that help us to understand this even deeper. And Father, encourage us to walk in the authority that you've given to us, to walk in victory day in and day out. And when we see the enemy rise up, we will put him in his place just like you did. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you for the victory that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.